Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
From Wembley Stadium, London, final score 31-17, the Dallas Cowboys over the Jacksonville Jaguars. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Well, the Jags had the late touchdown to make it a little closer, the safety, but just all Dallas most of the day today.
Yeah, it was really over at the end of the third quarter. We talked about it at halftime. They really needed the Jags to come out and score a touchdown at the beginning of the second half when they got the opening kickoff. They're really making a football game, JP, as it got away from them in the first and second quarters there. The Jags with an early lead, the turnover on the muff punt setting Dallas up to take the lead, which they wouldn't relinquish. And really, from that point on to the end of the first half, Tony Romo just played pitch and catch with Dez Bryant. DeMarco Murray did enough in the run game, averaged over 5 yards a carry today. They built up a cushion, and they add one touchdown in the third quarter and kind of cruised in from that point.
Turnovers, like you said, key. The muff punt, boy, on their own 5-yard line, and then Ace had the one later. They actually caught the two in return and tried to make up for it there. They didn't turn that one over. There was the Denard Robinson fumble as well. They got a turnover today, too, but the – boy, you gotta stop giving the ball away. Can't do it as a young team like that because the momentum swing is so huge.
Yeah, and this team is not hitting enough explosive plays. They don't put enough drives of continuity together, 8 to 10 play drives. And if you're not hitting explosive plays, you're going to have to string together those 10-yard plays, and that's really tough to do in the National Football League. And if you're not going to put up a lot of points, well, those turnovers, like you said, they are going to kill you, especially ones that lead directly to points. You give them the ball, we've seen the rash of pick sixes we've had this year, but you give them the ball inside the 10-yard line and set them up point-blank range. Not only does it put points on the board, it's kind of deflating, takes away all the momentum you built up to that point.
Fans, final fans filing out of Wembley Stadium. They're showing the late games right now, the end of the first games that are on in the big screen. So a few folks have stuck around to watch the end of those. Final score here, 31-17. Jeff Lagerman is downstairs outside of the Jaguars locker room. We'll go to him in just a moment with the first word with head coach Gus Bradley. Long week to think about this, too. Bye week, and then you got to go to Indianapolis and face Andrew Luck. It doesn't get easier.
Well, we knew it was a tough stretch. You're 4 weeks away from EverBank, and 4 weeks, as much as it's home away from home, it's not home, and a month on the road basically in the NFL is a tough nut to crack. You usually don't see that even with the bye week included, so I think they need the break, though. Obviously they played 10 consecutive weeks. They need to just hit the reset button, maybe come out these last 6 games coming back and kind of get some momentum going like they did last year coming back from London.
Injury bug. Remember, Linder was out of today's game to begin with, and then the two head injuries with Cecil Shorts the third and Alan Hearns there. Really scary for Hearns for a moment, but we'll see what happens. And you're right. The week off is going to help those guys, certainly, but you just hope it's not an extended period.
Man, Cecil had played so well today as well. Cecil Shorts really had a tremendous game for himself today. Helped his quarterback out and helped his team out and got him in position, made some explosive plays of his own. Hopefully he gets back out there 2 weeks after the bye and we'll be good to go.
Let's go downstairs here at Wembley Stadium outside of the Jags locker room. Jeff Lagerman with a first word with head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Gus, early on in this ball game, turnovers costly to your football team, certainly with the fumbled punt and also Denard Robinson's fumble.
Yeah, you know what? We started off, we had some busting coverage, but we held them to a field goal. Came back and scored, went up 7-3, felt good about it, and then went kind of back and forth until that fumble punt. And, it just felt like after that, the Denard Robinson fumble, it took us a while to get back into our groove. And, definitely that last play of the second half for the long touchdown that they had affected us. But I thought we came back in the second half after getting punched in the mouth. We responded, continued to play hard, but, too much to come back from.
And obviously priority number one, stopping DeMarco Murray. great back, great offense. They got Tony Romo back and Dez Bryant. He's a heck of a player. That's not an easy combination to stop for a defense.
Well, they've got some really talented threats. You know, their offensive line is really good, and then the skill positions, very talented. And just had too much time on some of the throws. You know, we didn't make enough on some of our opportunities as well.
You got the bye week coming up. Where do you take your football team into the bye week, and what's your approach?
Well, you know, we're hearing that and we're seeing on tape that we're playing hard. We're playing with great effort, and I think that you see that on tape. But we need to take it to the next level. And I think that, you know, that consistency, you know, to go longer and harder than we have before. We've got some special guys in the room. We just need to turn this into something special.
Injuries today. Cecil Shorts, I was told that head injury, but he's fine. And Alan Hearns took a pretty good shot. A little scary moment there.
Yeah, I'll find out more. I know that it was a good hit, and he got up and walked off. But we'll see where he is and further evaluation from our training group.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
Wow. Jeff Loggeman in the locker room with head coach Gus Bradley. When we return, more wrap-up from Wembley Stadium, London. The final score, 31-17. The Jags fall to 1-9, headed to the bye week. More from London after this on Jaguars Radio. Back at Wembley Stadium, London, final score 31-17, the Cowboys over the Jags. At GEICO, you have a choice of ways you could save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Let's go to the Jaguars locker room. Josh Evans is with Jeff Loggeman. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP, and certainly a tough game, Josh. Tough combination of guys to stop DeMarco Murray, Jason Witten, and Dez Bryant. Seems like that they were able to kind of get it going with DeMarco Murray, though, to start the game.
I mean, first off, you know, I give credit to those guys. You know, they got a great offense, and you know, we try to come out there and compete, but at the same time, we got to eliminate explosive plays like that. In the beginning of the game, we was hanging in with them, and, you know, when one crease, it's just hard to kind of get back. You know, we got to continue to keep playing the next play.
This week, you guys got a bye week coming up. Only one win at this point. How do you get the feel of the locker room and the performance better?
I think we need to come back with revenge, you know. I'm kind of glad we get this break to kind of get our minds off it a little bit. We'll be fresh, so everybody have fresh legs. And I think, you know, our memo coming back is for revenge. You know, we need to come out there, compete, play better as a team, and finish games.
Last week you guys were able to do that. You remember last year you came here winless, you left here winless, and were able to put together some games. Do you have confidence, or do you gain confidence from knowing you were able to do that last year?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at a team that struggled last year and came back kind of fresh and was able to win some games, and I think this team will be able to do that. You know, guys will come back and start understanding that, you know, it might be two or three plays that we got to make or, you know, got to stop. And once we can get down to the bottom of that, I think this team, you know, have a chance to finish out pretty good.
What's this experience been like 2 years for you coming over here to London, besides football, just the experience of London and the UK?
It's been great. You know, I got to do more this year than I did last year as far as just traveling more in central London and meeting up with people. And it's just been a fun experience, man. The fans here are amazing. You know, they're very motivational. They cheer at all times and very welcoming. And I think that's big, you know, coming from the States to another place to see somebody with, you know, welcoming hands.
All right, Josh, enjoy your bye week.
Thank you, sir.
Jeff Loggeman in the Jaguars locker room. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jags. Bueller Swiss Watches available at J. Roberts Jewelers in Jacksonville and Park Jewelers in Lake Mary. Final thoughts from here in London, Mike. You just got to reassess and move forward. That's what this team did last year at this point at the bye after London. They were 0-8 at that point and then won a handful of games right after that bye week. Could it be the case again?
It certainly could. You know, it's a different makeup of this football team, though. You have so many rookies that weren't a part of that last year. And offensively, really, you look at the last six games of the season, I think it's about the development of Blake Bortles. Can he take a step back over these next couple of weeks and maybe not feel so much need to press, because the running game's finally come along for him the last month, and the passing game's kind of fallen off a little bit. They're not hitting many explosive plays, and when they do, they're the short catch and then run after the catch variety. You'll take those. I'd like to see him get some more shots downfield and maybe be a little bit more, you know, careful with ball management in the red zone. I'm not saying, again, be careful. Just be, you know, do a better job selecting who you're throwing to. Have a little bit better vision down there. Still take your shots. Just do a better job not turning the football over.
That will do it for our coverage from London. It's been an incredible week. I know you've been here for the first time, Mike.
And, had a blast.
Awesome week, just not a great ending today.
No.
Against the Dallas Cowboys. But there's always next year.
Get them next year. Get them in 2 weeks against Indianapolis, and we'll go from there.
That'll do it from here in London. For Mike Dempsey and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. When we come back, we'll go back to Jacksonville. Tony Smith and Paul Spicer will take you the rest of the way on Jaguars postgame. 31-17, the final score. The Cowboys over the Jaguars on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jacksonville as the Jaguars postgame rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and crew up over there in London getting ready to head on home. The final, not a happy one from London, England today. Dallas wins 31-17 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. I'm Tony Smith, joined here on the Jaguars postgame show by former Jacksonville Jaguars defensive end Paul Spicer. And Paul, not a pretty game across the pond for this Jaguars franchise today.
Not at all. Today, Jaguars definitely took it on the chin with the Dallas Cowboys. And, I mean, Dallas Cowboys had everybody on deck. Romo coming back with a you know, broke back, but, I mean, he didn't play like it. And then to have Dez Bryant, you know, the way he played today was on an all-pro level, and it showed. And for all the fans out there, that's what all pro receivers look like. And, I mean, I'm not saying our receivers don't have that ability, but they're not there yet.
No, and Dez is a special player.
I mean,
that combination of size, speed, and strength is something you don't see very often. But the Dez Bryant plays point out something that was very obvious throughout this game, and that was when we went through the first half of last season with this Jacksonville team under a new regime, a lot of young players out there playing defense, but the tackling was atrocious last year. I mean, there were games where we were counting 14, 15 missed tackles at times for this Jaguars team, and today it reared its ugly head again. In this league, when you don't tackle, bad things happen, and that's what happened on both those plays with Dez Bryant. You don't tackle, it's going to be ugly in this league.
Absolutely. Explosive plays. I mean, that's one of the first things that a defensive coordinator, will definitely speak to when you go back and look at this ball game. You just cannot, and it don't matter who you're playing, you cannot give up explosive plays. And with an explosive play, for the fans out there to understand, for a pass is any pass over 20 yards, and for a run is really any run over 12 yards. And today, unfortunately, I mean, the Jaguars just was giving up way too many explosive plays. We saw, you know, DeMarco Murray, his backup Randall, both of them having runs over 20 yard plus. And then we saw Dez Bryant. Had a big game, 158 yards receiving, his best game to date. And right now, today, I'm not going to say, you know, the Jaguars defense did not show up. I mean, we've been praising their defense, the front four, how well they've been playing, how well they were stopping the run. Because I really felt the Jaguars had an opportunity to win this ball game, no matter which quarterback played, Whedon or Romo. And today, the Jaguars front did not show up. I mean, but we can sit there and pick it apart. But as I look at it, I think it goes back to what we talked about last week. Some of the missing pieces off this Jaguar defense. They really could have used Puz in the middle today, getting everybody in line, making sure the run fits are perfect where they need to be, especially going against a team like the Dallas Cowboys, which ranks in the top three in the NFL when it comes to rushing offense.
A ton to get into with this game today. Right now, it's time for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions of the Game for Paul Spicer, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Paul, let's start with this one. How much of a setback was today for a young developing team?
I don't think it was a major setback, but it was a setback simply because, I mean, you got 10-hour plane ride to come back home as well. You're 1-9, but you're going into a bye week, so I don't see it as a major setback. You do have time to recover.
Blake Bortles doesn't look like the same player he was a month ago. What has changed?
That's a good question, and I know it's a lightning round. I just think from the standpoint that, you know, the details, he got to get back to details and, you know, get back to his mechanics. And I think if he do that, we can see that first half of the season, Blake Bortles.
Question number three, is there any bright spot you can take from today's game?
I think you can. We saw the emergence of Cecil Shorts today with 5 receptions, 119 yards. Something that he had. This is the first game all year he's gone over 100 yards receiving. I think that's a bright spot. We still continue to see Denard Robinson play well. I mean, 15 carries, 60 yards, a 4.0 average, two TDs. I think he's still a guy that can be that feature back for the Jacksonville Jaguars to years to come.
Let's hope. We'll see. Denard Robinson, Cecil Short, certainly, if you're going to point the bright spots in this game for the Jags, those are the two guys you probably point to. That is the Xfinity Lightning Fast Questions from Paul Spicer. Call 1-800-XFINITY and ask how you can get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 12 months. There's no term contract and no early termination fee. Call 1-800-XFINITY today. Offer ends 11/9/14. So get it in. Today's the last day you can get in. Restrictions do apply. All right, we got the Bud Light play of the game. We got an Everbank final stats check coming up here on the Jaguars postgame show. The final from London, Dallas 31, Jacksonville 17. I'm Tony Smith, Paul Spicer alongside. We will take a look at some of the highlights from today's game and pick out that Bud Light play of the game. That's coming up next here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back in. Dallas, a winner today over in London, 31-17, the final over the Jacksonville Jaguars today. I'm Tony Smith, Paul Spicer alongside the former Jacksonville Jaguars defensive end. We are live from the HananiaAudios.com studio here at Everbank Field. Right now, let's get into some of the highlights from today's game, including choosing the Bud Light play of the game from today's game. We'll start with the Dallas Cowboys, who in the first quarter on their first drive of the game, they go six plays and 44 yards. Tony Romo misses a wide open Jason Witten on a play that probably would have wound up in the end zone, but he overthrows him. Instead, they settle for the field goal. Dan Bailey from 54 yards. The Dallas Cowboys lead 3-0. At this point, it was still a ball game. The Jags come right back. Nine plays, 80 yards, capped off by a 32-yard touchdown run from Denard Robinson, and just like that, the Jacksonville Jaguars lead 7-3. That is our Bud Light play of the game today as well, that run from Denard Robinson. The Bud Light play of the game is brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. So the Jags lead 7-3 about halfway through the first quarter after a muffed punt from Ace Sanders. Dallas gets a really short field, three plays, 6 yards on third down. Tony Romo with all kinds of time rolling to his right. JT Thomas slips on the coverage of Jason Witten. Although it was 4 or 5 seconds into the coverage, he can't cover but for so long. Jason Witten on that 2-yard pass from Tony Romo. The Dallas Cowboys take a 10-7 lead at the end of the first quarter. In the second quarter, Dez Bryant, he got his day started. The Dallas Cowboys take a 17-7 lead on a 35-yard touchdown pass, a play where Dez Bryant basically caught the ball at the line of scrimmage, a bad angle from Jonathan Cyprian on the play, two broken tackles from both McCray and Grotz, and 35 yards later, it's a touchdown for the Dallas Cowboys. They lead 17-7. The Jacksonville Jaguars get the ball with an opportunity to go down, try to cut that lead, maybe in half, maybe get a field goal, unable to get out of their own way. A three and out forces a punt, a bad punt from Brian Anger. And on the first play from scrimmage, Dez Bryant over the top of the defense inexplicably with one-on-one coverage in that situation that late in the half with just 25 seconds left in the half. Dez Bryant goes over the top for 68 yards in one play. It is 24-7 Dallas at the end of the first half. In the third quarter, the only scoring, a 40-yard run by Joseph Randle. Again, the Jacksonville Jaguars just unable to tackle on that play, and at that point it was 31-7 in favor of the Dallas Cowboys. In the fourth quarter, the Jags get on the board for the first time in the second half thanks to a safety on a hold in the end zone on a punt from Kyle Wilbur. Thanks a lot. 31-9 there at that point in the game. A pick from Blake Bortles on the ensuing drive after the safety finally there with under 2 minutes left in the game. Denard Robinson with his second rushing touchdown of the game. Blake Bortles found Allen Robinson for the two-point conversion to give us the 31-17 final up there today. Again, the Denard Robinson 32-yard run our Bud Light play of the game. That'll wrap up our highlights section. Registration for the 2014 Junior Roar of the Jaguars pregame performance is open. Girls 6 to 17 are eligible for the performance November 30th before the Jaguars host the Giants. The event includes a three-day clinic taught by members of the Roar. Visit the Roar Cheerleaders page on jaguars.com or call 904-633-4671 for more information. All right, when we return, we will have the Everbank Stats Check coming up. We'll take a look at some of the stats from the game, team and individual. Honestly, the picture not as ugly as you would think in a 31-17 game, but sometimes stats lie. That's all coming up next on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. They're the official waste provider of the Jaguars and have been proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Welcome back in. 31-17, your final from London. Dallas on top of the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jags fall to 1-9 now in the season as they head into their bye week. I am Tony Smith, joined by former Jacksonville Jaguars defensive end Paul Spicer here on the Jaguars postgame show. Right now, time for a look at the Everbank stats. Let's take a look at some of these stats from today's game. And again, when you look at some of the team stats especially, it doesn't paint such a bad picture. The Cowboys were 4 of 13 on third downs today. That's a pretty good number for a defense. It obviously doesn't tell the whole story. The Jags, 4 of 14 on third downs today. 399 yards for the Cowboys, 333 yards for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They sacked Tony Romo one time in the game, and that's one of the big, big stories of today's game. Knowing he was coming in with that injured back, Paul, and just completely unable to get any significant pressure really on Tony Romo. He had all the time in the world for most of the game today.
He absolutely did. And, you know, I can't be remiss. I am sitting here next to my father-in-law, Ed Dempsey. He came all the way up from Lehigh Acres to join us today. And today was a great day outside of the outcome of Jaguars game because it was my daughter's birthday today.
Oh, happy
birthday.
Turned
2. Amira Spicer turned 2 today, and we had a great time at my gym. But, you know, the game today was a lot of things that Jaguars, as we know, and we continue to talk about this week in, week out, mistakes that they cannot make. They cannot have the missed tackles. They cannot have the turnovers. Those, just those two alone, is going to get a result in, you know, a loss. Any team, no matter how good or how bad. And unfortunately, the Jaguars have been on the latter end of a lot of those type of plays, you know, this season. That's why they 1-9. But as we look at this, and you mentioned the stats, stats are telling a lie here. Because when you look at the stats of Blake Bortles, 22 from 37, 290 yards, a 7.8 average, just one interception, no touchdowns, but a 73.0 QBR, I mean, you know, quarterback rating, that's not bad. You know, I mean, that's not bad.
Right.
But unfortunately, I mean, you know, not having no touchdowns, I mean, that's a very telling stat right there. But Denard Robinson did a great job. He got it in the end zone twice today. But when you fall behind like they did, Denard, you can't use Denard. Your running game becomes non-existent when you fall behind, you know, 31-7. So Denard, as good as he's been, and I think he's probably the only consistent bright spot on this team right now. For the past 4 weeks, we've been talking about him. He has been a consistent guy. He's running behind his pads. He is playing very well right now. And like I said, if we can get some other guys to get on that same page of being consistent, as we talked last week with Allen Hurns, the type of game he had, we said we just want to see him be consistent. Well, he was not consistent today. I mean, as I look at the stats, again, Cecil Shorts, his first 100-yard game this year. He had 5 receptions, 119 yards. You see stats like that, a 23.8 average per catch. I mean, you say, okay, well, I know he scored. Well, again, that TD stat is 0. And as we look at these stats, I mean, where is Allen Hurns? Today, 1 catch for 9 yards.
Yep.
That is
left
not,
the game with a concussion.
And
too.
Then he leaves the game with a concussion. Unfortunately, we definitely, our prayers go out to him that I hope, you know, he can make a speedy recovery and get back out there because he's the guy, I think, in this mix of young receivers, young talent they have on this offensive team, the Jaguars, he's got to be a part of that. So we hope for a speedy recovery right there. But, again, these guys, it was today, it was the vet, you know, out of the receiving core with Cecil Shorts having a big game. The young guys, I mean, Allen Robinson, he's still, he's sort of kind of, you know, just okay, just average. But I think he's better than that, and he has to play better than that, you know, along with the rest of the guys. And I don't, I mean, you know, special teams, here we go again. It was special teams last week, unfortunately, with the block punts. And now we got a muff punt.
Yeah, the muff punt. And really, that was the story of the game for the Jags today. Three turnovers in the game, the two fumbles lost there in the first half, the interception there. That really, at that point in time, the game was done by the time Blake threw that pick. But still, three turnovers in the game today for the Jags. They forced the one fumble, but they're unable to get anything out of that because Denard Robinson gave the ball back. Some of the other key stats in today's game, Tony Romo, 20 of 27 for 246 yards and three touchdowns when everything is said and done. Again, just they could not affect him in that ailing back. DeMarco Murray with his ninth 100-yard rushing game of the season. He's played 10 games. He's got nine 100-yard rushing games after going for 19 and 100 yards in the game today. And Dez Bryant, obviously a difference maker as well. Six catches for 158 yards and two touchdowns in the game. Jason Witten had a pretty solid game, too. Again, he got overthrown on a play that would have been a touchdown on Dallas's first possession, but five catches for 33 yards and a touchdown. We've seen tight ends have some pretty good days against this Jacksonville Jaguar defense in the past, and that's what, in the end, today felt like. It felt like a throwback to days that everyone was hoping was behind this Jaguars team, and it was like Halloween. I mean, it was trick. It was all trick today for Jacksonville Jaguars fans. We'll take a look at some of the other scores from around the National Football League. Again, Dallas, a winner today, 31-17 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. As we roll on here on the Jaguars postgame show, I'm Tony Smith, Paul Spicer alongside. We'll come back and take a look at what else is going on in the National Football League today as we continue on Jaguars Radio. We continue here on the Jacksonville Jaguars post-game show. I'm Tony Smith, joined by former Jaguars defensive end Paul Spicer. When it comes to flavor, go the whole nine yards. Go for Goldfish Crackers. They're tasty, fun treats that come in multiple varieties of deliciousness. So don't drop the ball. Grab the Goldfish. It's the official snack of game day. All right, real quick, let's take a look at some of the other scores from around the National Football League. Maybe the surprise of the day, the New York Jets playing at home against a red-hot Pittsburgh Steelers team. Ben Roethlisberger had thrown for 12 touchdown passes in the past two games. He only gets one today, and after a slew of turnovers early, the Jets get the win, improved to 2-8 on the season, the Steelers dropping to 6-4 after the Jets went 20-13 up in New York. It was just going final. San Francisco in overtime gets the 27-24 win on the road against the New Orleans Saints. For San Francisco, a vital game as they're trying to stay alive in the NFC wild card. The NFC South has been pretty pedestrian all season long. So despite the fact that they're 4-5, New Orleans maybe still in the driver's seat there of that division right now. The Atlanta Falcons get the win over the Buccaneers, sweeping the season series with a 27-17 win today. Matt Ryan, 20 of 31 in that one for 219 yards in the victory. Josh McCown back in the lineup for the Bucs, throws for 300 yards, but they do come up short despite the fact that he throws two touchdown passes in his return to the lineup. A couple other finals today. The Kansas City Chiefs, 17-13. They get the road win against the Buffalo Bills. The Chiefs now 6-3 on the season. The Detroit Lions, 20-16 over the Miami Dolphins, and maybe the best matchup of the 1 o'clock games today between those two. The Detroit Lions don't look now 7-2. Now on the season for Detroit. So they are having themselves a whale of a season. AFC South rival Tennessee on the road against Baltimore today. Baltimore gets the win. They improved to 6-4, 21-7 the final in that when the Titans took an early 7-0 lead. Zach Mettenberger in that game, 16 of 27 for 179 yards. Not the kind of numbers that you want to see. Obviously not winning football for them there. The 4 o'clock games going on right now. The Denver Broncos trail in Oakland, 10-6 the game's score right now as the Raiders lead the Denver Broncos. The Arizona Cardinals at home playing host to the St. Louis Rams. They have the best record in football, do the Arizona Cardinals, at 7-1. They trail against St. Louis. It is 6-0 there in the first quarter of that game, and 7-7 up in Seattle as the Giants and Seahawks go at one another. The first quarter just coming to an end in that one. Eli Manning with a touchdown pass. He's already thrown for 111 yards in that game for them. Odell Beckham Jr., the rookie receiver for the New York Giants, first-round pick this year. 3 catches for 58 yards already for the Giants. He's been really impressive for the past 2 or 3 weeks. The final in London today, not a happy one for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dallas gets the win 31-17, the final there. We have, coming up next here on the Jacksonville Jaguars postgame show, we have the Baptist Health Injury Report. A couple of Jacksonville Jaguars leave the game with apparent head injuries. We will update the status of those guys as we roll on here on the Jaguars postgame show on Jaguars Radio. Rolling along here on the Jaguars postgame show, I'm Tony Smith, joined by former Jacksonville Jaguars defensive end Paul Spicer here on the program. A couple of Jaguars leaving today's game with apparent head injuries. Those are the only injuries I can remember during today's game for the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is good news as they go into the bye week, because certainly this team has had to deal with its fair share of injuries to this point. But both in the receiver corps today, Allen Hurns getting sandwiched on a play. Went down. He was evaluated for a concussion after the game. I haven't heard any word from the locker room on him or on Cecil Shorts, who took a massive hit over the middle of the field on a ball, the interception thrown by Blake Bortles. But both players evaluated for concussions after the game. Have not heard anything yet. You hope for the best for those two guys. Again, the Jags are going into the bye week, so that probably helps with the timetable if either of those guys did happen to suffer serious concussions. But not fun to think about a 10-hour flight after suffering that kind of head injury either for either one of those guys. Not a pleasant thought, Paul, to think, oh, well, I got my bell rung. Now I got to go sit on a plane for 9 or 10 hours.
It is not a good feeling. I mean, anytime you have an injury and then now you got to hop on a flight, I mean, that is not a good feeling at all. And head injuries, I mean, like I said, I'm not a doctor and I'm not going to try to sit here and diagnose anyone for that matter. But I have been hurt, and I had to get on that plane, and you're trying to find a comfortable spot. And, you know, most football players, man, you know, they don't make airplanes for us. So, you know, you're trying to find a comfortable spot to kick your leg up when it's a knee, or find, you know, extra seat or so you can have some room for your, you know, your back or whatnot, a shoulder. It's not a good thing. And unfortunately, you know, for the Jaguars, the injury bug has just been hanging out in the locker room for the last few weeks.
No, it really has. This injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. And taking a look at this game today, we've talked about defense and the lack of tackling today. You're going to see the replays of what Dez Bryant did to him a lot over the course of the next 24 hours.
They were some type plays.
No doubt. I mean, look, and Dez Bryant is a supreme talent. There's no arguing about that, but that doesn't mean that when you have an opportunity to make a play, you don't make a play. Like, there's any excuse for allowing that guy, as talented as he is, to do what he did on those couple of touchdown plays.
Absolutely. And to the, you know, credit to, you know, Dez Bryant, like you mentioned it, I've mentioned it, he is one of the superb wide receivers in the game. But the fact of the matter is, in which, like I said, I don't know the answer to this, The young secondary of the Jacksonville Jaguars defense, they should look at this as a challenge to really step up their game. Here is Dez Bryant, one of the top receivers coming in, and you got an opportunity to play against. You got to play well. And today, unfortunately for Gratz and McCray, Cyprian and Evans, they did not. They did not step up to the challenge of the Dallas Cowboys. They knew. They saw the tapes. You know, they prepared, and they knew what was coming. I mean, he, like you said, he's big, fast, strong receiver. And then he got Williams on the other end, who is really coming to his own this year and is playing very well. And then you got an all-pro tight end who's been doing it for over a decade now in Whitney.
Right.
So this is a major, major challenge for the secondary. And I'm including these linebackers as well, the back end of the Jaguars defense. But unfortunately, when you have a back end in the Jaguars defense, young and inexperienced as they are, the way you compensate for that is the front four getting after the quarterback. And they didn't do that at all today. One sack and came in the fourth quarter against Romo. That can't have that.
Not good enough.
And especially when Romo's sitting there with two cracked vertebrae in his back, he's not running nowhere.
No.
So, I mean, right now, like I said, with an inexperienced, you know, back end, the front end not getting it done, the front four, you know what? That's just, you know, you can't have that in any game whatsoever in the NFL, especially with a team such as the Jaguars and what they have to work with right now.
McCray actually matched up pretty well with Dez Bryant early in the game when they basically started putting Dez over on the right side against Dwayne Grotz, and that's when he started eating a little bit more than he had been earlier. And the first touchdown that he had, it's hard to tell just watching a TV replay exactly what happened, but it was pretty clear that Cyprian reacted, if nothing else, late to the play in front of him, that it was kind of his responsibility on that play to get to Dez Bryant. And a play where he's running a crossing route across the entire field. He catches the ball at the line of scrimmage. You can see Sip at that point is already behind a guy who's got some pretty good speed in Dez Bryant. So he runs through Jonathan Cyprian. Then he proceeds to go downfield and run through a couple more arm tackles from some Jacksonville Jaguars in the secondary. That brings us to Sip. And there have been a lot of questions about Jonathan Cyprian because of where they drafted him last year with the first pick of the second round. The expectations for him were sky high. You know, a safety being drafted into a defense that's being run by Gus Bradley, who basically created that defense in Seattle when we've seen what the safeties have been able to do. So it felt like, okay, this is the blueprint. This is Gus Bradley saying, this is my guy, my choice for that leader on the back end for this team going forward. And to this point, Cyprian, I think he's a talented guy, but it feels like there's a play or two a game where you're scratching your head at what Cyprian does or doesn't do, whether it's just he's a little bit late reacting like he was today. Was he supposed to be over the top on the second touchdown? I don't know. I know he was standing in the middle of the field with nobody running a route anywhere near him on the play. I don't know exactly what his responsibility was, but I can't believe that that would be it if Dez Bryant is running that streak up the sideline.
Well, when you watch Cyprian play, and he is playing okay, but the problem is, and what you pointed out, is always at least a player two every game, he finds himself and not in the position he needs to be in, and he's taking bad angles. In football, I know the old cliche, it's a game of inches. You take the wrong angle, and you an inch or two off. Well, guess what? That's all that speedy receiver running back needs to get by you. You have to take the proper angles. You have to come down, come to balance, as my man Frank Gans used to say back in the day. Come to balance. Put a Z in the knee, put a little flex in the ankle, come to balance with your shoulders up, head up, and, hey, make the tackle. And that's what you have to do. But right now you can't leave your feet like he did on that 35-yard touchdown play for Dez Bryant. You can't leave your feet. You got to, hey, come to balance, wrap up, make the tackle, run through the tackle. But that didn't happen today. And it wasn't just Cyprian, even though right now that's where we kind of focusing our attention to. It was other guys as well. Because as we watched the replays here on the monitors here in the studio, hey, we saw McCray miss the tackle after that. I saw Watson was down there. He missed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on now. I mean, and even on a 68-yarder, like I said,
He ran
right through Grotz, and then here comes Cyprian. He just jumped on for the ride. You got to come to balance and strike a guy in the NFL. These are grown men, all right? This is not high school. This is not FBS, FCS college ball. This is the NFL, the cream of the crop. And you better bring it every day, week in and week out. If you don't, this is what happens to you. You get embarrassed such as he did today. You will get embarrassed. It's not just Cyprian, Grotz, Evans, all of them. You will get embarrassed. That's what it's about. You got to meet the challenge. And today, the Jaguars secondary, well, I'm not going to just say the secondary. The Jaguars defense did not meet the challenge. Like, they played okay against the run. I just say, and I'm not, when I say okay, I mean like a D+. All right, and that's not
even
really okay.
I don't even want to know what grade you gave the back seven in that case, Paul, especially against the pass.
Well, anytime a receiver gets 158 yards, there is no good grade out of that.
No, it's bad. And updating what we were just talking about with the injury report, a concussion has been confirmed for Allen Hurns. No concussion for Cecil Short, so that's good news.
That's great.
He's hasn't had a whole lot of breaks when it comes to injuries at this point in his career, so that's good to hear for him. Coming up next, we will preview next week's matchup with the bye week. They need it, Paul. I don't think a team in the league needs a bye week more than the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. 1-9 and reeling a little bit after that game in London. And we'll wrap up Jaguars post game. The final score today, Dallas 31, Jacksonville 17 on the Jaguars Radio Network. Getting ready to put a wrap here on Jaguars post game. Tony Smith alongside former Jacksonville Jaguars defensive end Paul Spicer, and the bye week next week, and you know how it is as a player, Paul. I don't think you've ever dealt with any kind of season that was close to what Jacksonville is dealing with right now as a player, but you know, I'm sure had seasons where it's like, oh yeah, bye week time, where you felt like you needed it at some point in the year. It certainly feels like right now it's coming at the right time for this Jaguars team. Maybe 2 weeks ago would have been the right time. I told you last week on the post game, I felt like Blake Bortles needed a reset button, and I think he finally gets it this week with just having a week away from it a little bit.
There's nothing wrong with that. The way the season has gone up to this point, 1-9, you're absolutely right. And I don't think it's just Blake Bortles. I think everyone from the coaching staff as well. I mean, you do, and that's why they put these bye weeks in the season so guys can take a minute to pause, okay, and recharge the batteries, if people can understand that, and come back with a little bit more energy. Because right now, I'm pretty sure there's not a guy, if they really give a you-know-what about playing in the National Football League, playing for the Jacksonville Jaguars, because it is a privilege. But right now, I'm pretty sure those guys are really feeling it. And with a long plane ride, and I think somebody said 9 to 10 hours in a plane, I mean, you can probably hear a rat pee on cotton in that plane right now. And I tell you what, you can sit there and think, and I know they got the iPads out watching it over and over, and then they're going to get home. And, you know, most of us, we guys, and the rest of the guys out there listening to us as we talk, got SportsCenter on. What's playing right now? Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
Okay? As I said earlier, da-na-na, da-na-na. That stuff's going to eat at you for a week as you try to recharge and come back out after the bye week and get prepared for the Colts. Because right now the Colts are playing good football. And right now the Jaguars, hey, I know Gus going to have some practice time within that week. But, hey, the guys do need to get away. Give them about three days to get away, recharge. And that's coaches, everyone. Because it's been 1-9 season. Man, that's brutal. That's rough. Everyone needs to just, hey, when they land, get in your car. I'll see you on Thursday.
Yep, and quickly, we only have a few more minutes here left on the Jaguars postgame, but there was a lot that went wrong today. There's an hour is hardly enough time to get into it, really, with the way that this game transpired. But the offensive line, it should be mentioned, there was traffic at Blake's feet throughout the entire afternoon. Luke Jokel, look, he's the number two overall pick in the draft last year. You can go back and look at that draft class and say that it wasn't a very good draft all you want. There's more expected out of the number two overall pick than what Luke Jokel provided today. Maybe, and I don't know for sure because I'd have to go back and watch it, and I will throughout the course of the week, but maybe his worst performance as the Jacksonville Jaguar today. I mean, Jeremy Mincy destroyed him on that move to get that sack in the second quarter of the game.
Well, I mean, I know Jeremy Mincy played with him, coached him. Jeremy Mincy is a good player. By any stretch of imagination, he's not a top-tier defensive end in his league, but I'm pretty sure he was really gassed up to play, you know, really excited to play against the Jacksonville Jaguars, especially how he left Jacksonville last year, being waived in the middle of the season as he did. So I'm pretty sure he was bringing looks extra. But you're right, Luke Jokel, second overall pick in the 2013 draft. Hey, man, you have to step up and play better. I mean, we're expecting much more. He's not Tony Boselli, so please, nobody out there, don't call in here talking about he need to be Boselli. He's not Boselli, okay? He's not that Boselli, that's two different guys, all right? So we're not going to sit there and make that comparison. Luke Jokel is Luke Jokel. And what Luke Jokel has to do when he comes back in his bye week, he got to assess with his game and what he can do going forward to be a better offensive lineman, to be that blind spot for my man Blake Bortles, so that way nobody won't be sitting there hitting him in the back of the head.
For those on our flagship station, 1010 XL in Jacksonville, stick around. The Scoreboard Show is coming up next. The Jaguars Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Jaguars Manager of Radio is Joe Fortunato. Linda Fortunato, our producer today. For JP Shadrick, for Mike Dempsey, for Jeff Loggeman, and for Paul Spicer, this is Tony Smith saying good night. 31-17, the final between Dallas and Jacksonville over in London. It's 0-2 in London now for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's the final on the Jaguars Radio Network.